You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is spiritual power in praise. Spiritual power in praise. The glory of the Lord filled the house of God through praise in 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. Praising the Lord in advance of the battle brought a great victory. 2 Chronicles 21, 24. But you are holy who inhabit the praises of Israel. God inhabits the praises of his chosen people. A person who truly, truly praises God from his heart will be more spiritual, for God will inhabit those praises. Praise is a sure way to have more of the presence and power of God in one's life. It's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. I'll tell you, when you get on your knees and you're by yourself, and even when you come to these altars and no one even lays a hand on you and you're praising God, you can sense the power and you can sense his praise. Nobody has to do a thing. Through a song, you may sense his power and his praise. Through worship, you sense his power and his praise. Spiritual power from the Lord comes by his Spirit. Be filled this morning with the Spirit by his word, his blood, his name, his love, through the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man and through obedience to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praising the Lord, the more loving praise one gives to God, the more spiritual power you will have. Think about that. The more you give to God, the more spiritual love you give to him, and praise his unsearchable greatness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. Thy shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion and slow to anger and great in mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you so glad that he's slow to anger? Oh, I've thought many a times. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his majesty and acts. And the glorious majesty is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Praise the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to the excellent greatness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. True praise of God will not only be confined to this sanctuary, not to this sanctuary. It will be everywhere that you're at. That's true praise. Hallelujah. With devotion to his word, with the love of God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord this morning. Let everything that has breath praise God. Give God all the glory. He deserves it this morning. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. When you're in a battle, praise God. When you're going through circumstances, praise God. And when you're happy, praise God. Amen. Father God, we come to you today. We offer up our praise to you. We love you, Lord. And God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God, for your presence is with us. We thank you, God, that you're always with us and that you have compassion for your people today. I pray for our service, Lord. Bless those, God. Touch him this morning. Touch our pastor this morning. Be with us, Lord God, as we lift up our hands and our hearts to you today, Lord, that we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. And we thank you, Father God, in your name. Thank you, Jesus. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let everything, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Would you stand as we continue to worship this morning?
He's got an army marching through this land. Oh, hallelujah. Are you part of the army of God?
Yes.
Amen. I'm glad we're all together in this thing. 3 weeks ago, I started a little short series, I guess, to some of the preachers around that go 6-8 weeks on talking about the same subject. But you know, I do things, what I feel, I've prayed about, and I've had a couple of these messages for years. And I thought, man, when am I going to get? And I always pull them out and look at them and refresh my memory and think about them and pray about them. But when I don't know how, the third one, this one came in to the picture and it just fell into place. The title of the series was The Beginning of Great Things. But that was 3 weeks ago. We had some great things transpire last week, last Sunday, in our brothers. We had some great things transpire here in our sanctuary, in our service. And again, I can't thank Sister Tracy enough. When I know she's handling things, it's forgotten. Because I know how picky she is. But today's message, I apologize to the worship team. I know they come in and practice all these songs, but they're used to it. They're used to it. But the title of this message is A Clean Heart and a Right Spirit. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms chapter 51, verse 10. And it just simply says that same title. But it says, create in me a clean heart. But the psalmist says, oh God. You can't do it. I can't do it. You won't do it. So it's up to God. Create in me a clean heart, oh God. But also, and with that clean heart, you need to renew a steadfast spirit within me. One version says, renew a right spirit within me. When we understand that among all the Psalms, and there's 150 different chapters as we have broken them into chapters, we need to understand that this is where David just bellowed out so much of his stuff. But I like that song. It begins right here. And I like the way they pointed to the altar. Because this is where it happens. To create a clean heart and renew a right spirit, a steadfast spirit, we need to understand that God is the only one, the only thing, in other words, that can accomplish that. And if you pray that, God will do that. Now, it doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't make you super Christian. Because if I punch you in the nose, you're going to cry. Just like anybody. Doesn't make us a superhuman. But we need to understand that the structure of the book of Psalm is so superb and significant, but yet it's so simple and begins a powerful message for anyone to get in and study, let alone preachers preach it. But in the first 19 chapters, you see the psalmist writes different sections. Chapters 1 through 6 talks about the confession of guilt. And that's where it begins. Guilty is charged. I need a Savior. I need a clean heart. A new beginning. A fresh start. Amen? When? Right now. Right here and right now. If it's not going to be here and now, when's it going to be? Are you going to wait too long until everybody's taken? When the rapture takes place? Lord, I hope not. I know I'm praying for some of my kids and grandkids. I'm starting to pray for our great-grandkids. You know you get old when you got to put two greats in there. Let's hope that's a while. Yeah, the Lord will come before then. The confession of guilt, you can read those chapters. The second one is the prayer of divine renewal, 7 through 12. And the third one is the reward of restored fellowship. And isn't that what it's all about? When we get back to heaven, what's going to be transpiring there? The perfect plan and will always be accomplished there. And I'm looking forward to when He creates the new heaven and the new earth all over again, getting back to the perfection that was created in the Garden of Eden before sin came into the picture. Think about it. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. And don't forget the O God. Because I can't, I won't, but you can and you will. Meaning God. Thank Him every moment of your life. The first thing that I want to talk to you about this morning is a prayer for cleanness of heart. This particular verse just simply requests clean heart and right spirit. Now, don't they go together? Hand in hand? You can't have one without the other, because you'll be losing out on such great blessings. You cannot have a right spirit toward God and others unless you have the clean heart God alone can create. The clean heart is the inward work of grace and what God does in you. I'm going to say that again. The clean heart that God creates is the inward work of His grace, His mercy, and is what God does in us, in you, in me. I don't know about you, but when was the last time you thought about your clean heart? That's something that we need to do every day. Because the enemy sneaks in so softly, silently, in the back door, side door, if we leave them open. It represents the root of holiness. And I know today holiness is not something that is desired in the church, but you're going to hear holiness from this preacher. Because the only people that are going to see God are those who are holy. with a clean heart and a right spirit. And what will keep you out? You can go to the book of Galatians chapter 5. You can read those verses there. I'm getting ready to do an in-depth study for myself on what I know some of them are words that, you know, don't match any of our vocabulary today. But if you really look in a dictionary and see, they will match what we talk about today. Amen. But there's also the good part in that chapter too. That what which will see heaven. So prayer for cleanness of heart. The right spirit is the outward work and stands for what he does through me and suggests the fruit of holiness. And I know a clean heart is all the one all saints pray for and they long for. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss the boat. I don't want to be tone deaf when the trump of God sounds. And that's what sin does to you. But understand, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And this was kind of like a prayer. And the word says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Sanctification is another one that we don't like to hear about. Because sanctification and holiness are inseparable. Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Station identification here. A little commercial break for you. Think about blameless for a moment. Blameless is without guilt. There's not one of those men at our retreat that can say they're not blameless. They snore. Some like a freight train. And then we have another one that squiggles and wiggles and constantly on the move. I don't know what if he's running a race or what, but when you have a plastic-coated mattress that you're sleeping on, in between snores, you have that sound. I guess that's probably too much information. But we were all guilty of snoring, and I include myself. Me and Brother Dale was not the only one that had funky looking hair in the morning. Because he forgot, Brother David forgot, he was just standing there looking in the mirror when I walked in. He had already run the comb through it. But blameless doesn't mean you're perfect. Because those sins, that flesh is always trying to come back to life. But thank God, when God creates in us a clean heart and a steadfast right spirit, we're blameless not because you are so great, I am so great, but because Jesus is so great. But too often times, and I'm glad I'm a Pentecostal, I believe that other guy. What do? The Father, Son, and I believe in the power and the glory of the Holy Ghost. Because I have Him active in my life. And sometimes I need that proverbial smack in the forehead with that two before. That's the job of the Holy Ghost. And I know he only talks to me this way. Hey, dummy. You better not go that way. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of heartache. Does God ever talk to you that way? The Word said He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A friend will tell you in a heartbeat what you're doing wrong. Amen? And Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. But the power of the Holy Ghost is who preserves us blameless. Because it's a work in progress. And I used to hate that word. Because I knew a couple preachers that used that as an excuse for the little look at a woman, a little swear word to come out of their mouth. Yeah, preachers. They're just as human as you are. But think about it. We're preserved because of the Holy Ghost. His work, His operation. Jesus said, if I go to be with the Father, I'll send you another comforter, another helper. And I'm so glad the Holy Ghost dwells in here. And I mean, not my heart. I'm glad He dwells up there. Because I can think stupid thoughts. I can think stupid thoughts. But it doesn't give us a license to go out and do, say, go places, look, do actions, play it out. But I'm thankful. Your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to continue. It was great last week, but what about this week? I hope you guys had a fantastic week. Me, I hobbled around all week. Like a dummy, I jumped out of the truck. This fat boy don't land too easy. Still hobbling, but I'll get over it. I didn't say that for a pity party. But I thought we had an excellent week. I hope you did. Hope you ladies did too. Because I know Sister Karen did a wonderful job. Gave you some food to chew on. Amen? She's just like that. You ought to live with her 24 hours a day. Just kidding. Don't get upset. Understand, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, a right spirit within me. Now, I want you to understand that everything that God does inside us will be evident outwardly. And that's good or bad. Because you see, a clean heart will not produce ugly junk. Remember, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Ouch. Holiness. God is so gracious to each one of us. Psalm chapter 24, verse 3 and 4 goes on to say, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. Think about it. God's a jealous God. He just wants it all. Well, aren't you like that? We have some and we want more. And more. And more. The clean heart is a necessary creation. And when does it start? What was that? Amen. David isn't sleeping today. Aaron's still back there too. I hear him. The clean heart is a necessary creation. Psalm revolves the penitent's progress from outward sins to inward sin, from practice to principle. God came to discover hidden evil springs within his being. It wasn't an accident that he took that second and third look at Bathsheba and then sinned. And then sinned to cover up the sin. And then sinned again to cover up two sins. Amen. Stop and think about it. The psalmist was already close to being 50 years into his relationship with God. You say, well, heaven forbid. Someone that long with the Lord and they still are struggling? Yeah. Until we hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come on in. May God deliver us from the evil peril of indulgence in the sin that so easily besets us. Many outstanding Bible saints stain their characters by a particular sin, one dead fly that caused the ointment to stink. Noah marred his walk with God by intemperance. Abraham lost his influence with Abimelech through his deception. Moses was shut out of Canaan because he lost his temper. Threw the tablets down on the ground. Miriam became leprous for criticizing the leadership of Moses. Achan met his doom and his relatives also through covetousness at Ai. Oh, this little treasure won't matter, but it cost him. The children of Israel were kept out of the promised land because of unbelief. And yes, David had his testimony marred through lust. That's why Scripture says, flee the very appearance of evil. Not to see how close you could get. I'm glad that the Lord has got this. Amen. When we stop and think also, the second thing about a clean heart is a holy creation. That prayer for cleanness of heart. Because the issues of life spring from the heart, it is essential for it to be purified and to be kept pure. Unless the fountain is clean, the water will not be wholesome. Amen. It doesn't mean that you're in a state, absolute state, of perfection or sinlessness. I get highly disturbed over a statement that a lot of Christians will blurt out, well, all of us sin, or every day all of us sin. No, you don't have to. You still have the choice. Amen? But I'm so glad if we do stupid things, we have an advocate with the Father. We have Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and for me. We have the Holy Ghost that says, hello, anybody in there? I've been trying to talk to you. But sin blocks. Listen to this statement. There is a distinction between being blameless and faultless. Often we are blameless, but never we are faultless. Because any of our hidden sins, God will reveal. He'll reveal them first to you. And then if you don't do anything about them, there's a chance that God will begin to reveal them to others. But I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We've got some great things that have started, have begun, even in the midst of COVID. You can't do this because COVID. And don't get me wrong, I know it's real. I lived through it. Our household lived through it. We have a couple in our family that are suffering through it right now. The attack of the enemy comes in many different forms, fashions, disguises. Brother Paul alluded to it as the armor, the fiery darts. And I know some of you ladies and maybe some of you men like me. I know at the Inn restaurant when we was back in the kitchen cooking the spaghetti, the secret was to seeing whether it was done, tossing against the wall and seeing if it stuck. It sticks, it's done. Trust me, we didn't throw it back in the pot. Even some of our jokesters that help us with our spaghetti dinner. You should have seen the spaghetti when I moved the stove out. And cashew. Oop. Sister Judy still in here? I don't think you wanted them from the floor. But don't stick your stuff to the wall or see what sticks and what doesn't stick. Jesus takes care of the clutter. It starts today, as Limitless sang to us. I agree with you. I like that song. Pretty neat. What a powerful message. You can lay it all on the line today. That's your business. But I know we have 12 to 14 guys. I don't know how many's here today, however many's here. Our men's ministry is Brothers Keepers. Cain and Abel story. Yes, I am my brother's keeper. In love, I'll come to you. You don't need a friend as a pastor. You need a shepherd, a pastor that will guide you and direct you, will help you out. And you know, you can get mad at me. That's fine. But I won't describe, talk to you about anything that's not found in here. Two choices, heaven or hell. Two choices. You can sin or not sin. You can live like the devil or live for God. You can let the Word dictate to you, guide you, direct you, help you, as well as the Holy Spirit, or not. Would you bow your heart, or head and hearts in prayer? Because technically that's where our heart's at, in our brains, in our heads, our minds. Today, I just want to open up the altar service. It starts right here, right now. I don't care what it is. I don't care what position you have. The first scripture that I read this morning, Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's up to you. It's up to you. I asked the brothers last weekend, are you packing? You better be packing, because you never know when the enemy comes. You don't have to wait. Sister Kathy has broken the ice. And the Lord speaks to you, Sister Kathy. As I've knocked in the times past, you've always been there and opened up. And I know today is no different, because I just love hearing from you. And don't let anyone or anything tell you any differently today. I am there, and I will accomplish some great things in your life. And you can take that as a word from the Lord. You can take that as a promise from the Lord, Sister Kathy. Ladies, should have already been here. Guys, if you want to pray, come pray. Come on.